got there early that morning, so I had a good parking place, and I only had to go up one floor, and I was right by the door. But I thought, well, I'll just take the stairs rather than take the elevator. So I turned around to go up the stairs, and little did I know, the doorstop was down on the floor. So I tripped over the doorstop, went forward again, and I landed on my hands, on my knee, and as I'm laying, it was just down. I mean, cars went by, too. Nobody stopped or anything. And I just went, Jesus, what is wrong with me? I thought, why am I falling all the time? And then I remembered Psalm 91. I said, God, I could be in a lot worse shape than I am right now. So I just got myself right back up, and I got back to my car. And I know, sure as I'm standing here, that there was an angel that caught me. Because I should have landed on my face and really messed myself up. So I have to give glory to God and the angels that he sends to protect me and keep me safe. They cushioned my fall, and I thank God for that tonight. So, hallelujah. I was going to read Psalm 91, but y'all know it. You got it memorized about, so, okay.
Amen. Well, glory to God. My grandmother, God rest her soul, she's gone on to be with the Lord now, but she had, what do they call that, like hardening of the arteries. And so she, in her latter years, she got to where she was really, she couldn't walk without falling over. But it was so funny to watch her. She'd be out, she'd always try to work in her yard. But when she would fall in slow motion. It's like somebody had a hold of her. Well, we said the angels of the Lord had her, because she would fall, slowly fall. It's like somebody had a hold of her when she'd fall. It's funny. So that's the angels of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what he says, right? He gives his angel charge over us. Amen. He does. Yeah, they keep us. They watch out. Ministering spirits sent to those who are heirs of salvation. Amen. Well, glory to God. You got anything, Sister Charlotte? We're going to do anybody bring their petitions tonight? Yeah? Charlotte's going to pray over the petitions tonight, too. Are you going to do that? She's looking at me like, what? She loves it when I put her on the spot. I'm trying to get y'all to be spontaneous, right? Get that. God's in spontaneity, I'm telling you. When you're just respond to him sometimes and you're not planned on it or anything like that, and you're all nervous and you're sweating and your right guard and left guard's not working, I'm telling you, he shows up in those times. I'm telling you, he's there. He likes to stretch his people. Amen? That's what faith does. It stretches, doesn't it? Well, glory to God. Well, amen. I'm trying to figure out what else I need to do. Well, anyway, so we have finalized also, anybody love the nation of Israel?
Yes.
Glory to God. We have finalized our trip for Israel on November the 27th, which is going to be an 8-day trip to the Holy Lands. And we finalized that. Am I pretty loud? I sound loud tonight. Yeah, back me off just a little bit. But yeah, because there we go. There's my thundering voice. I had to back out of it because... I like my Barry White voice. Oh, yeah. But anyway, so I'm chasing rabbits here. All right. So anyway, so November the 27th, we're going to be going to the Holy Land. Love Israel. Amen. And if you've never been to the nation of Israel and never toured the land, one day you're all going to go there. Amen. Because they're going to be a new Jerusalem. But I'm telling you, if you get an opportunity to go before then, go. There's nothing like it. I just believe, I know it'd be a fact, that there are places on the earth that are open portals where the presence of God is there. The angels of heaven descend upon those places. And there's a lot of places in Israel that are like that, Jerusalem being one of them. And even though it's a city in turmoil, a lot of things going over there, it's just such a blessing to go. Because it's one thing when you read something in the Bible and then you go and see it for yourself, because your mind has a tendency to add dimension to it, right? And it's usually bigger than what your mind makes it bigger than what the place, when you go there, it's like, wow, this really happened. It's like really close. So I just recommend that you do that. And we've got a really good package on that, huh?
One of the things when we were in Israel the first time that just amazed me at how, if you're a child of God, how your heart is connected to the land. And you don't really realize to what depth until you walk there. But I remember when we were there and we spent a few days in Jerusalem and everything, and we were leaving Jerusalem and going to the Sea of Galilee to stay there for a few days. But I was on the tour bus, and as we're driving out of Jerusalem toward Tiberias, toward the Sea of Galilee, and I could see Jerusalem disappearing in the background out of the bus window. I tell you, I just started weeping. Because it was that feeling like you had when you were a little child and you went to spend the night somewhere and you got so homesick that you wanted your mom and daddy to come and get you. Well, that's how I felt when I saw Jerusalem disappearing in the background. I was homesick. So if you've accepted the Lord into your heart, there is something that is implanted into your heart, a home in the land of Israel. And I would love for everybody to be able to go and to walk that and to know that feeling, that how much you are connected to the land.
Amen. And a lot of people ask us sometimes, how are you able to go do these trips and things that you guys do? And, you know, we're just average people like everybody else. But I tell you, if you take things over a period of time and slowly sow into that and give to it, then you can come up with it. So this is not till November, but you can start now already, you know, sending money in, and it will go toward that trip until you get enough in there. Because we have taken many trips. That's the way we've done it. We'll usually just start giving into it. Hey, I'm about to get to that. So, but I think, what is it, like 600 down on it or something, or 300 or something? But anyway, and then month to month you can kind of pay that out up to the time. So it's an all-inclusive trip. So flying out of Atlanta, we wanted to come out of Atlanta because we're all in the south here. So we're going to come out of Atlanta, flying into the nation of Israel, your airline flight and all that, plus your meals at night and your meals in the morning. All your tour stuff. The only thing you're going to have to be concerned with is your meals during the day of the trip. And a lot of times people will pick up little things here and there. And then whatever souvenirs that you get. But other than that, everything else will be covered. So it's all inclusive for $2,699, which is a super, super good deal for that. If you look at most trips, they usually run you around $3,700. So the Lord really blessed us with that, especially to be able to come out of Atlanta for that. Because, I mean, it's, you know, a flight out of Atlanta is a lot of money. Just usually have to fly out of JFK or somewhere to get your tickets. But that's it. So I don't know if we have that. I don't know if I sent that to you yet, Sarah, to put it on the website yet. But is it on there? So can they go out there and hit the link, though, and go to Noseworthy to... Okay, yeah, if you go out to the Healing the Nations webpage and just click on that, I think it's on one of the banner pages that comes up, right? It says Healing the Nations. And you can go to the banner page, click on it, or you can go to the events page on there, and it'll have this listed. I don't know if the PDF's out there for the actual brochure yet, is it? Okay, so if you go on that website, you can click on it. You can actually download the brochure. More information, too, of how you can... I'll go ahead and set up and start paying for that and all that, how you can do that and where to send your money and how to do all that is out there. So just go out to the htni.org website and either click on the banner pages that come up, or either click on events. And because if you don't click on the banner page, you have to wait on it until it comes back around sometimes. But click on events and it's out there. And you can click on there and download the brochure, or come by and see us. We'll give you a brochure, or... I don't know if we can. Charlotte has them there. And also Tommy Cones, evangelist Tommy Cones and Linda will be going with us. So we're going to do some ministry there while we're there. I think Tommy's going to do a healing service there at the Pool of Bethesda is our plans. We'll see how that works out. And we'll do something in the upper room, too. We'll see how that kind of works out. Hey, trouble the water. So we'll see, you know, and... A lot of times, I always like what Sarah would say when we were over there. She said, I'd just be. Whatever the Lord wants me to be, that's what I be. So, you know, a lot of times if you just go with that attitude of just being and you want to bless the land and bless the people in the land, the Lord will just open up doors and opportunity to minister also in that as you're being ministered to from being over there and walking in the land. Amen? So That's there. November the 27th is when we will leave on that. And usually that's a good time. I know it starts into the rainy season somewhere around in there, but the weather is usually nice as far as it's not too hot. We've been in there in August and July, and it's almost unbearable. But if you guys want to go, that's that. It's a small group tour, so I like doing the small groups because I've been in the big ones, and it's hard getting people rounded up. You ever tried to herd cats? Try to herd a bunch of believers around when you got two busloads, about 30 to 60 folks, and see how that works for you. I mean, huh? So this will be a small 20. We've kind of capped it at 22 people is our limit on that because we like to keep them. We and Charlotte did one of these 4 years ago or longer than that. Has it been 10 years ago? Has it been that long? Yeah, that's when Francis decided at, what was the name of that place? Caesarea Philippi, and it's a place where Jesus talked about the gates of hell shall not prevail. Francis tumbled down the stairs from going the wrong way down the stairs, of course. It was the wrong way. But it wasn't her fault. They let her down the wrong way. Yeah, she went that. I mean, I heard her. I didn't see her, but I heard. I heard somebody hit the ground like, boom. And I thought. I just prayed, oh Jesus, don't let that be one of ours. And it was Francis. Of all people, it was Francis. So, but yeah, I think it dislocated your shoulder and broke it. Yeah. But I mean, we'll give a testimony of that next time, but yeah, a testimony of just how God had actually moved, because we were out there in Caesarea Philippi out there, and that was way out there. Huh? What? Come on, give a testimony. We're cutting into Chris's time here, but he'll be all right. He can preach late, that's it. Yeah.
Well, I was in such pain, I don't remember all the details, but there was a cab driver or something that was pretty close, or somebody that they called that wasn't usually around there, and they took me to the hospital and all that. I spent the night there at the hospital, and we don't realize how spoiled we are, because there you're like on your own in the hospital. It's like they don't serve you hand and foot. No water there by the bed, no nothing. Nothing to wash up with, and it was like you just had to make your own. Good thing I had people with me, my husband and stuff. But what the miracle was, I stayed in the hospital, and then the tour bus came after me the next morning. I had my pillow and my... But if I was at home, I would not have been able to get off my couch, because I fractured my shoulder in three places, and no pain medicine, nothing. I had ibuprofen I took around the clock, but I kept on. I did the morning thing, the all day thing, the night thing, and Charlotte, they had to help me pull my pants up. She had to come wash my hair, and Rick had to put me in and out of the tub, but putting clothes on and off was terrible. I would cry when I'd get home that night. But daytime, the Lord kept me going the whole time. I didn't miss a step. So it was a miracle for me to keep going. Yeah, believer for a doctor, and met a wonderful little woman that invited us. Yeah, it was amazing. It was a lot of
stuff. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, I mean, the taxi that came and picked her up was, I mean, usually they have to it takes them off for a taxi to get out there. The one was just close by. Which was a miracle. So it was like, wow, man. So anyway, but you are not going to fall if you go with us, So we're going to pray Psalms 91. Yeah. I mean, we're sitting here at the gates of hell, right? Yeah. Amen. So amen. So let's we'll go ahead and pray. But how many did your prayer petition yet? That's your prayer petition. There's also one up. There's an example of that in your bulletin, if you want to know how to do the prayer petition. I did a teaching a long while ago on that. I don't know if it's out on the website or not. You can go take a look at it. It's probably out on iTunes somewhere too, on some of my podcasts. But Jerry Savelle actually does a wonderful job of doing the prayer petition too. But If you want one of those, you can look in your bulletin. There should be one. Or you can go out to Jerry Savelle's website and also get the same thing. So if you got that prayer petition tonight with you, we'll pray over our prayer petitions and also take up our tithes and offerings. Amen. Because we believe that when we give, what happens? The windows of heaven open above us and God pours out the blessing on us. Amen. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over men give to our bosom. So, Father, we just come tonight, Lord, before you tonight, Father, and we just lift up our offerings tonight, Lord. We lift up our petitions to you tonight, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that according to your word, Lord God, that you cause the windows of heaven to be opened above us, Lord. And you cause the blessing to be poured out upon us, Lord. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, Lord, you cause men to give into our bosoms, Lord. I declare tonight, Lord, over your people, jobs and better jobs, Lord. I declare checks to be in the mail, Lord. I declare debts, Lord God, to be supernaturally forgiven, Lord, and paid off and mortgages paid off, Lord. I declare, Lord God, raises and promotions, Lord. Lord, I declare tonight, Lord God, for hidden inheritances, Lord, for entrepreneurial ideas, Lord God, for, Lord, opportunities, Lord God, to begin to move into places of wealth, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just lift up tonight our petitions before you, Lord. You said if we bring our petitions before you, Lord, then, Lord, we begin to pray and agree, Lord, that you will grant our petitions tonight. So, Father, we bring those petitions tonight, Lord, and we just come in agreement tonight, Lord God, Lord, that your word declares if we ask anything in your name, Jesus, Lord, that you hear us, Lord God, and we shall have our petitions before you, Lord, and we thank you for it, Father, and everybody said, amen, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you the offering taker-upper? Amen. Well, glory to God. Well, I know I've been teaching on the presence, but I really felt like tonight, I really wanted to break, actually. But you guys know Chris Finch. He's been here in and out for a while now. And Aria, his wife, who has joined him also and joined us here. And Chris is a powerful prophet also. And we're going to let him share tonight and bring a message. I know he's the Lord's really laid some things on his heart tonight. So we're glad to have Chris Finch here with us tonight. Prophet Chris Finch, all the way from, where is it you guys come from? Irondale, right? Trustville. All the way from the city of Trustville. So, amen. And come to the mountain. Come on, brother. Glory to God. There's your mic. Do you need more pulpit?
No. No, baby.
I mean, his Bible's got Hebrew in it.
Well, if you thought you were going to come listen to me and those who knew saw me at Roost that morning,
let me
listen.
Say, before you start, let me give you a little video etiquette here. So the camera stands. This is video. Okay. So you have to watch how far you go. Yeah, I know. So watch your Roman, or you'll be talking. They'll be listening to nothing. And I think you got another space to write about here. And after that, you're gone.
Okay. For those who haven't seen me, you see me at Roost that morning. I start out. We're not going to be lazy. You come to hear me. We come to engage God. So stand up. We're going to speak in tongues for about 5 minutes. So let's engage the Lord right now. You ready? Shoto da bakata, shiko da hoto da bakata, shiko da hoto da bakete, shiko da hoto da bakata, shike da hoto da bakata, shiko da hoto da bakete, shike da hoto da bakata, shiko hoto da bakata, shiko da hoto da bakete, shiko no hoto da bakata, shike da hoto da bakete, shiko no nama hoto da bakete, shike da hoto da bakete, shiko hoto da bakete, shika da hoto da bakete, come on, shiko hoto da bakete, shika mo hoto da bakete, shika mo no hoto da bakata. Shikero bo dore bakete, shiko hore bakata, shikero bo dore bakete, shiko hore bakata, shiko hore bakete, shiko dore bakete, yaro shoto re bakete, yaro shoto re bakete, shika bo dore bakata, shikero bo hore bakete, shiko hore bakata, shikero bo dore bakete, shika dore bakata, yaro shoto re bakete, shika dore bakete, shika no hore bakete, shikero bo hore bakete.
We speak mysteries over Summerton. We speak mysteries over healing the nations. Baruch Hashem Adonai, Baruch Hashem Yeshua Mashiach, Baruch Hashem Ruach HaKodesh. We worship you, Father Elohim. We worship you, Yeshua Mashiach. We worship you. We love you, Holy Spirit. We honor all of heaven that is in this place, the four living creatures, the seven spirits of God which are before the throne, the elders that cast their crowns, the saints, the spirits of just men made perfect. We honor the angels, the seraphim and the cherubim, and all of heaven in this place, of whom the whole family in you, God, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We honor them and we worship you, Yahweh. We worship you, Yeshua, in Jesus' name. If you want to know why I do that, Hebrews 12 says that we are no longer come to a mount that can't be touched, but we are in Mount what? Zion, an innumerable company of angels with spirits of just men made perfect. That's not allegorical. That's not figurative. That's reality. That if you are in Christ, that's where you are, seated with Him in heavenly places right now in the heavenlies. You're amongst the four living creatures. You're amongst them worshiping the Lord God together. That is where you are right now. It's not allegorical. It's not something sweet they put in the Bible. It's truth. It's where you are now. Lord, open our eyes.
open our eyes. And I feel like that's one of the things the Lord is doing tonight. Before I preach, if people that know me at New Covenant, I always start off with a psalm. So I will start off with a psalm that they say every day. Since this is the counting of the Omar, we'll say the psalm that they say every day during the counting. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause thy face to shine upon us. That thy way may be known on the nations, that thy way be known on the earth, thy saving help upon all nations. Oh, let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern all nations on the earth. Oh, let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then the earth shall yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. That is a psalm that they say every day during the count of the Omar, during the leads up to what Shavuot, which leads up to us as what Pentecost. This is the 21st day in the month of Iyar. Mike wanted me to speak of the month of Iyar before I get into my message, but it actually ties into my message. The month of Iyar is in the Hebrew alphabet. I like to teach on the alphabet, and that is Aleph, Ba, Yod, Yod, Resh. Aleph, Yod, Yod, Resh. Now, it's in a play. If you do Aleph, Vav, Resh, that's light. So, month of Iyar is actually is the Babylonian month, name of the month, but actually it corresponds to the Hebraic month before the Babylonian time to the month of Ziv, which you know when Solomon began to build the temple, if you read in 2 Kings 6. That's the month of Ziv. In Iyar, since we go into Aleph, Vav, Resh, Aleph, Yod, Yod, Resh, light, that's Or, Genesis 1, the Ziv means to shine. So the month of Iyar is when God releases his light. Since Vav is the letter of the month of Iyar, Vav is the light, the Yatsur light that flows down from the heavens, from God. That's his truth. That's what Yatsur, it's light that comes from God, is true. Yeshua is the light. You know, the light's a person. The light's a person. Think about truth's a person. Truth's a person. That'll blow your mind right there. Ziv means to shine, so that's the Zayin, the light that goes back to God. That we emanate. We are transformed by light. We emanate light. That's the title of my message tonight, is actually being yoked to light. Yoking ourselves to light. The tribe of Iyar is Issachar, but since Zebulun and Issachar were blessed together, not only is it a month of light, what you see, you are transformed by, but it can be multiplied. So Zebulun is multiplication, the blessing. The Issachar was the tribe of Torah. Zebulun was who supported the Torah study. So Zebulun supports Torah. So it's multiplication and it's multiplication of revelation, multiplication of finances, multiplication, just multiplication under the study, under being yoked to light. It multiplies everything of God. Not only doesn't only transform you, it multiplies. So the letter Vav, the constellation Taurus, since we're talking about yoke to the ox, that's the face of the ox, which represents yoking, right? Part of it. And let me give you a secret. Can we go get mystical a little bit here? When Moses came down from the mountain, it said his face shone, that he had to put a veil over it. The Hebrew root word that always gives function to the word means to grow horns. So Moses looked pretty freaky coming down the mountain, but he was operating out of the face of the ox. So he veiled himself, he had to veil, and that veil still remains over Israel today. But praise God, God's breaking veils. And their eyes are open to Yeshua, the Son of the Most High God. So I'll give a little secrets to the letter Vav. Since it's the letter of the month of Iyar, the defective spellings without Vav in the Torah will. So when a word appears once it is in its complete form and once in its incomplete form, it is in the same context, it indicates contrast. We're going to talk about some words a little bit, just a few seconds, give you some Torah insights for the letter Vav. Let there be, we'll go into Genesis 1:14. Let there be luminaries in the firmament of heaven, Genesis 1:14. And then Genesis 1:15, and they shall serve as luminaries. Genesis 1:15. The first time it appears, the word for luminaries is spelled with a double defection, that is without the vav of the vav of the plural and the vav of the singular is omitted. And 1:15, it adds one of the vavs is added. So this is to reflect a mystery that the stars that shine their light as luminaries is deficient because the light in us is deficient when we fail. You know, all creation groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, that includes the stars. They're waiting to be transformed. So, but in the 15, it's there, but only as singular because they're doing their job, they're giving their light. But even though it's not complete, because it's not the light when God said, let there be light, because that's for us to admit. But they're doing their job, but it's incomplete. And it's also in the singular because even though there are many stars, they act as one. They all do. They each emit a different frequency and different sound, but they're declaring, each of them are declaring the glory of God. Psalm 19. Another time, the word vav is misspelled in Genesis 2. I think it's 2. I got it written down. Yeah, 2:4. Also in Ruth 4:18. Those are the only time the word todot, generations, is spelled correctly with two vavs. I'm going to give you an example. Every time between that, these are the first and the last time the word toldot is used in generation, spelled with two vav. That means literally means offspring. The reason why it's not deficient in Genesis 2:4, Adam hadn't failed, there's no death. The reason why it's not deficient in Ruth 4:18, because it talks about the generations of Ruth, and who's in the generation of Ruth? Jesus. So the vav is not deficient because it's speaking of a mystery of Yeshua in whom there's no death. Torah's pretty incredible. So that's the letter, and I went into that because that's the letter. And today, being yoked to light, the letter vav, the sixth letter of the alphabet, the letter Zion, the seventh letter of the alphabet, which I said vav reflects light that comes from God. Zayin reflects light that goes to God, that comes from us, emitting light, being one with the light, fellowshipping with the light. John 1, we'll get down, I don't want to skip ahead. Yokes together to form the letter, and she's here, she's going to correct me. I'm sorry, my Hebrew is still the southern. Het. I knew she was going to correct me. I cannot pronounce that word. But it's formed together when it's yoked on top and forms the letter Het. And Het, according to the Jewish mystics and rabbis, was the doorway of light, which is Yeshua. It's also 8, the letter number 8. It's the new beginnings. It's when you transcend your physical limitations and step into the anointing to the Spirit, not by might nor by strength, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. When you start to step out of limitation, because in Christ there is no limitation. So when you walk through the doorway and you yoke yourself to light, you put off the constraints of some of the false lights. That you break the false yokes of some of the false lights, like rejection. Rejection's a light. You know, Yeshua talks about dark light in his eyes. If your eyes aren't single, he said, the light and use darkness. How great is that? Talks about dark light. Each thing, you know, while love, joy, peace emanate a light, fear, rejection emanate a light also. You know, Satan can transform himself into what? An angel. So it gives off a light, but there's no depth to that light. There's no depth to that light. That's how demons recognize what's going on. They can't read your mind, but they can sense fear gives off a frequency. So if they see that you're being tormented with fear, they come and they try to oppress you. They see, they target that. They do counsels because they can't read your mind. But because fear, rejection, you know, lust, things like that give off a frequency. That's how they see. That's how they target. Because it's a light. That's what they talked to a cult person that used to infiltrate churches. They would say they would astral project themselves out of their spirit, and they would go through churches. They would see what frequency and what light they were emitting and know how they could target that church. Giving you some insights. But they said if they saw bright light, they said they'd stay away because that was they were connected to Jesus. Come on, greater is He. I'm just trying to show you some mysteries and show you some things that are going on in the world. And because we are called to be lights, right? Jesus said, "You are light." Because you're in Him. We are called to be light. We're called to manifest light. Because any type of light that you don't manifest, if we refuse to manifest light in Yeshua, another light takes its place. Something else takes its place. If we don't occupy, something else takes its place. We don't bring the light. We're called to be lights in every realm of influence. That's your home, that's your business, that's your church. If we don't occupy by manifesting and being yoked to light, something else takes that place. Just like when Mahesh Shabda spoke about World War I in his book, Supernatural Manifestation of Speaking in Tongues. He said before Hitler came into power, there was a move in the church about tongues. The church said, "We don't want it." Something else had to fill its place. You know what that was. But God gave ground and gave the church a blueprint and a paradigm, a blueprint to stop Nazism. But because they refused what was reset, something else has to take fills that void. Does that make any sense? If you don't occupy in your sphere of influence being connected to Jesus, you're called to take ground in what with light. And we're going to go into the light, some of the benefits, some of the aspects of light, of what it is. Just like the priests in the temple with the breastplate. This is the year of the breastplate and the gems. I keep seeing gems all over the place. Each gem and each breastplate contain different frequencies of light and revelation of God. When the priest was in the presence of God, those gems would start to manifest. 12 stones. And when he would come out before Israel, it would manifest light and judgment. You know, that's how the Urim and the Thummim, where they gave judgments of God. That's from being in the presence of God. The light would spell out the letters and would give them direction of what they should do. It was imperative. It was indicative of what the cherubs did that covered. You know, they had the 9 stones. Look in Ezekiel 28. Satan, when he was created, before he had 9 stones. He didn't have 12. 12 being perfect government. Of God's government. Only we, you know, we have 12. That should tell you something. He had 9. But he would be in the presence of God and they would cover. And then when they, you know, every time they'd get a new revelation of God, they'd go, oh, they would absorb into those stones and they would come out and say, "Holy! Holy! Holy!" And then the revelation would go out into the universe and transform. He was called to sing the revelation of God. They said the pipes were made into the universe. And to transform. Just like us, we are to be in the presence of God. We're a priest after the order of Melchizedek. We have the 12 stones on our breastplate, right? We're to be in the presence of God and come out with worship and transform in every realm and sphere of influence where we set our feet. Think about that as a word. Your praise and your worship, absorbing in your stones together corporately, then transforming the earth that it transcends into a Psalm 149 anointing where you bind kings and chains and nobles and fetters of iron. You're binding the influence by releasing the light of God in worship, enthroning God in your praises, enthroning Yeshua in your praises, releasing Him. Because when He's enthroned in your praises, He sits as King and Judge. You release His light and expands and breaks things in the atmosphere. That's powerful. That's what you do as priests and kings after the order of Melchizedek. So let's go into that. Romans 13:10-14. We're going to talk about being yoked with light. And I'm going to quote some scripture here. Romans 13. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, for love is the fulfilling the law. For knowing the time is now high time to wake out of our sleep. For the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Let's place on ourselves the armor of Knowing the time, now is the high time. The night is far spent, the day. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Sorry, I'm a little ahead. And let us put on the light. Armor, that word armor. Let's walk honestly through the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but let's put on the. No, actually, put on the. So putting on light is putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. That word armor, same Greek word letter, same Greek word, it's hoplon. It's the same word used as weapon, of weapons in our warfare. So in a sense, if you want to read that, any tool or implement for preparing a thing and use in a warfare, weapons, an instrument. In a turn, it says, when he says, put on the armor of light, it says, become a weapon of light. Weaponize light. I'm just telling you the Greek word, what it means. You are to become a weapon of light, taking ground, clearing out deception. You're that powerful. Ephesians 5, 1 through 21. Let us be followers of God and dear children, walk in love as Christ loved us and given himself for us for offering a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But all fornication, uncleanness, or covetous, let it not be once named among us as become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. I'm trying to speed up. For this we know that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man who's an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Let us not be partakers with them. For we sometimes darkness, now we are. You are what? Walk. Halak. Conduct. Learn. Yoke. Take my yoke. That's walking is teaching. Walking is learning. It's halakha. It's learn. I'm pronouncing that bad. Halak. It's conducting as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Let's not have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but let us rather what? Expose, reprove them. For all things. Let me go to the next verse. For it's a shame to even speak of those things which are done to them in secret. But all things are reproved, are made manifest by. Now who's light? Well, Jesus, we know Jesus is, but who's light? All things are made manifest by. All things are made manifest by. Come on. Is it clicking? For whatsoever doth make manifest is. Come on. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. This is a powerful chapter. See that we walk circumspectly. That means circular motion, not linear. Not as fools, but as what? Wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Oh, what? You mean you can do that in Christ? You can do that as light? You sure can. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. I'm sorry, I'm trying to. Matthew 5, 4. I don't have this one memorized. So it's Matthew 5, so we'll have to put that up. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light. You are what? Of the age. That's probably age. That's not the earth. That's age. A city that is set on a hill cannot be what? Hid. Neither do men put light under a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. So now are you convinced that you're lights? Jesus said it. Paul said it. Are you convinced that you're lights? 1 John 1, 5, 7. I'm just trying. We're breaking some paradigms here. Is this, This is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship, koinonia, with Him, we walk in darkness, we lie, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the... But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with light. Some people like to say that's with believers. I believe that's fellowshipping with light, with one who is truth. I don't believe that's a correct interpretation of that. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That word fellowship, again, is koinonia. That's intimate relationship. So He's inviting you to fellowship with Him, with light. But if we, let me say, if we're tangled with fear, are we fellowshipping with light? We're in darkness. That's just the truth. That's the truth. Doesn't mean we're not saved. Doesn't mean we're not going to heaven. But are we in dark? We don't do the truth. Or if we fellowship with rejection, are we fellowshipping with light? If we fellowship with lust, are we fellowshipping with light? If we fellowship, so we're saying that we walk in the light, we're believers, but we're fellowshipping with something that's totally alien to His nature and character, then we're not fellowshipping, walking in some darkness. That's dark light. Our eyes not single. Our eyes not focused. I know that's a tough message, but it's one that we've got to learn, because this is what God is calling us into. When He's releasing light, He's releasing us to new realms of truth. I know this hurts me. This cuts me to the bone, because this is the things God's been speaking to me about. Breaking off influences of familiar spirits. You know, when you have conversations with yourself, I bet they're going to reject me. I bet they're going, who are you talking? That's familiar spirits. That's fellowshipping with the things that are trying to keep you in a certain mode of fellowship. Breaking off idolatry, anything, whether it's a problem or whatever you make bigger than God, is an idol. It is. Look. But this is powerful. We need to get this. Second Corinthians 6:14 through 18. When Paul, be ye not unequally yoked with, how about unbelief? We'll just change that from unbelievers to unbelief. Be not unequally yoked with rejection. Be not unequally yoked with fear. Be not unequally yoked. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion? And I'm not trying to change into stuff that does mean I'm, you know, but that's not a marriage scripture. Paul's trying to say, and what communion hath light what with? Anything that you yoke yourself to becomes your teacher. And then you start to, you know, it talks about framing realities from things that are unseen. Was rejection seen? Let's do this in the opposite way. Is shame seen? But you yoke yourself to that. You walk yourself through that. You start to frame a reality through that. Then everything starts to manifest, because that's what you're walking by something that's unseen, but you're not walking by the light. We can either frame things from the unseen realms in Christ, or we can frame things in unseen realms, because rejection's not reality. What's the reality? I am accepted. That's reality. Fear is not reality. Because you see that we talked about manifesting things on the earth, because Satan can't create. He can't. He has no power to create. He's not God. He's a created being. So he has to have vessel. He can't even change times and seasons. But he has to have. He doesn't even know what's going to happen from the next. He has an idea, but he doesn't know the clue. Because when he fell, that light that he's had started falling and diminishing and diminishing, and it's still diminishing and it's still diminishing. And that revelatory realm that he walked in, he doesn't walk in anymore, and it starts to diminish. So he needs doors and gates to open up to manifest realities through, which are us. Also think sometimes in creation, stars, and, you know, to get age into the time. Sometimes as heavens declare the glory, like the age of Aquarius, God was trying to say something there. Church didn't get it. Something filled its place. When women were wanting to vote, God was trying to say something to the church. Men, we didn't get it. Now women are just now speaking in the church. Why don't we get it? That's the devil. Women in the speaking, that's the devil. Don't want that in my church. What light were you walking under? You don't think we didn't walk in? How about some other false lights? Healing's not for today. Then we take that Jesus and we worship that Jesus that we've created to make him lesser than us, and we say healing's not for today. He did that then. He doesn't deal that now. Is that what have we turned Jesus an idol that's lesser than ourselves? Because we're walking in darkness and not the light. I know that's harsh, but it's the truth. God's breaking idolatry in the charismatic church, I'm going to say. And it's not just, you can say that's just Baptist, but it's just, we think we get a prophetic word, we think God showed up and he's in the house, and that could be further from the truth. I'll tell you, some of the prophetic roundtables are on Jezebel trading floors. Some of the prophetic ministry is on Jezebel trading floors. I'm just being honest. Some of the prophetic ministry is on Jezebel trading floors, trying to bring life to idols. Because when you prophesy to someone, you can either see into their soul, into their realm, or you can see what God has for them. And if you're not constantly in the Word, allowing it to divide soul and spirit, then I could prophesy to something that's a lust of the flesh, and I could start to try to breathe life into that. And what am I speaking into? I'm trying to breathe into an idol because I can't see, because I'm as blind as that person. I'm just being real, and I'm not. I mean, God's pure. And Joe Brock said it. Judgment begins at the house of God. This is a time when the light is being released to break off darkness in His bride, because God wants us walking in pure light, and I feel the anointing on that. Though God wants us walking in pure light. So he's saying, yoke yourself to me, to my light. Yoke yourself to my truth. Yoke yourself to my power. Yoke yourself to my authority. Yoke yourself to me and start to let me breathe life into the dead bones that you say that you're naked. You say that you're clothed, but you're naked. He's opening our eyes to yoke to light, to break idolic structures that we've created. Because that's your destiny, is to be conformed to an image. Everything that you do flows from that rest. You know, another mystery of Torah, we talked about Het being the eighth letter, which is what, new beginnings. You couldn't go into the new, in circumcision, you couldn't go into your new beginning until you went through a Shabbat, through rest, which is Jesus. Boom! Torah is awesome. But the series, you couldn't go to your new beginnings until you went through a Shabbat, which is Jesus, which is rest. So we're talking about being yoked to light. So fellowshipping with light, having koinonia with light. In John 5:35, he calls it burning. It's a burning and shining light. It burns and it shines. It purges, cleanses. It's cleansing. It's creative. Genesis 1, it's a creative light. We don't want to be like, let's give you another mystery. Adam, all right, we talked about the word light is or. Aleph Vav Resh. When it said that God clothed Adam, what, with garments of skins? The word skin, it takes the word light, but it takes away the aleph and puts the ayin, which is eye. So God clothed Adam in what he yoked himself to. So there's some more mysteries of Torah. You're clothed in what you You know, it says, don't sow to the flesh, sow to the spirit. You're clothed with what you yoke yourself to. Light clothes you. Emits a frequency. If I yoke myself to rejection, I'm going to be clothed to rejection. There's going to emit a frequency. People are going to reject me. I've heard of some people, and it takes a mature believer to look beyond that, what's coming from that person, and see them as how God sees them. Because if I see you as reject, if you've got a problem with rejection, I see rejection over you. I'm probably going, sadly, if I'm not mature in the body, I'm not discernment, my discernment's not right, I'm probably going to reject you and give you what you want. Because I can't see. I'm seeing through. I can't see. So we're talking about, that's the garment of light. One of the priestly garments was a tunic and a robe. The robe was outside, which is the reflection of light. The tunic was what was worn on the skin. It was knitted in such a way that there were box-like indentions in the material, which looked like settings of jewels. That's clothed with the revelation. So what he was on his skin, he was manifesting on the outside. What he was clothed with in his intimate time, he was manifesting. It's the same way with us. It's time to fellowship with truth. It's time to fellowship with light. But we get so bogged down with shame. That's what you do. If you're filled with perverse thoughts, go to the light. If you're filled with rejection, go to the light. Well, God ain't going to stomp you out. The light teaches you how to judge yourself. So you don't. That's what God's trying to do, because you're a mountain, you're a temple. God's trying to teach you how to legislate your mountain, how to judge yourself. You'll be judging what? Angels. But you got to learn how to judge this mountain first. If you walk in my ways and you'll keep my charge, and you'll judge my house and keep my courts, and I'll start to give you places among these in the heavens, that's Zechariah 3, who stand by. Got to learn how to legislate this mountain by light, by truth, by yoking ourselves to light, by taking His yoke upon us. His yoke is koinonia, it's intimacy with Him. I don't want to be one of those. I spoke in tongues, and He never called those false prophecies. He never called those false tongues. He just said, I never knew you. Those who work with iniquity, you were yoked to something else. You weren't yoked to me, and you didn't look like me. Think about it. He never called those false prophecies, false miracles, kundalini, whatever you want to say. He said, I don't know you. You don't look like me. Because iniquity doesn't. I have no sin. He had no sin in us. And then we try to justify. God understands. You know, God loves you. But He was sinless. That's what I used to do. I used to justify. I failed. God understands. He knows. God said, no, I didn't. My son suffered everything you suffered. I love you, but He didn't sin. I'm called to be like that, Him. I'm called to be, ooh, I feel the Lord. I'm called to be like Him. I'm called to be like Him. That's what the goodness of God, I'm going to tell you, the goodness of God that leads man to repentance is God is so kind to reveal what's in your heart, because the heart, that's the goodness of God. Because the heart is wicked and deceitful above all things, and who can know it? You think the goodness of God is all frilly and fluffy, but it's actually He's good to reveal what's in your heart. Because without the light, without the Holy Spirit, I'm blind, leading the blind, leading blind. I can't see. But in Him, in His light, I see light. Healing the nations, that's what God's called you to yoke light, to manifest light in this region. He's taken you into a time, I'm prophesying, He's taken you into a time of Isaiah 25, a feast of new wine and a feast of the lees, where the Lord is going to start to destroy the covering on the mountain and the veil. I think it's, if you want to put that up there, this is your scripture, Isaiah 25, 5 through 7. This is your scripture. This is my prophetic word to healing the nations. And I'm going to start to show you how to steward revelation that God gives you. Because revelation that God gives you isn't supposed to be knowledge. It's supposed to be, wow, let me go share it. The first aspect of revelation is transformation. How do I know if you're really seeing in the Spirit? You know, people talk about seeing in the Spirit. I'm seeing angels. I'm seeing the seven spirits and all that. That's great, but there should be fruit that comes from seeing in the Spirit. If you're seeing this stuff, you should be being transformed, because the first thing that you see is to transform you. I'm speaking to mystics. I'm all about encounters, but if it's not being transforming, then I've got to wonder, if it's not transforming me, I got to wonder what I'm encountering. Come on. That's right. Come on. This is your prophetic word. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place. So He's removing the accusations of the enemy off healing the nations. There's been a season of accusation. There's been a season of voices, opposition, but He's removing that. Even the heat with the shadow of a cloud, the branch of the Telber one shall be brought low. And He will destroy in this mountain the face. What is that? Of the covering, the veils. In this mountain. And cast over what? And the veil that is spread, there are nations that need your light. There are cities that need the light that you carry in Yeshua. There are families that need light. There are families, there are businesses that need truth and light. If you don't be the light, who will do it? God can raise up somebody else, but God wants you to manifest His light, His creative light. Light is first, it's judgmental, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean it by it exposes, right? We learned that. That's the first function of light. It exposes. Not for bad. Judgments of God aren't bad. Judgments are good, actually, because that means God's destroying something false to bring the real in. So we got to quit thinking about judgments. You know, death, destruction. Judgments aren't bad. Judgment's good. I want to be judged by His light now before I'm judged, before I stand before Him. I'd rather be things burned up in fire now, because Paul said you'll be saved by that fire. Light is fellowship. That's another function of light. Light was always meant to be fellowship. Adam, God wanted Adam to fellowship with the light, with the truth. God wants us to fellowship with the person, Jesus. He wants to invite you. He wants you to know Him more than you want to know Him. He wants you to come, even He wants you to take you on visions and heavenly. He's opening up. I see eyes being opened up in this place. The Lord's restoring y'all to the seeing realm. Those that even are seeing are going to see greater. I see greater vision coming. It's okay if I keep prophesying. So light is relational, right? That's the second function of light. And light is creative. It manifests the infrastructures of God, brings them from the unseen to the seen. In you. So what do we do? We need to start stewarding. You know, the Lord showed with me about finances. One of the keys to why a lot of people are not so struggling in their finances and their giving is because the first aspect that you realize what you give isn't yours anyway. I work for this. What do you mean? That's my work. No, God, who allows you to work? Who gave you the ability to work? Whose money is that? who does everything for you. That's what, that's a Jewish perspective. Everything that we get's from God anyway, so I'm going to bless others because it goes back to God. That's why a lot of us struggle in finance, and we still look at it like, I'm giving my money. Not yours. It's His. Same thing with Revelation. I used to be like that. I'd get this revelation of something, and I'd be so excited, want to go share it, but then I wouldn't steward it, and it wouldn't be transformative, and it would just start into information and not revelation, and it would just be head knowledge. It's meant to be transformational. You have to steward revelation, because if He gave you that, He's trying to reveal a nature of Himself to you, and He's inviting you deeper into that nature. So you steward that through three things. Three things. Let's go into three things. Faith, hope, and love. Faith is the outer court. It takes faith to step into something. God, I'm uneasy. I don't know what this is not, but faith. I don't know about this. So I stewarded my revelation with faith. I step into it. That includes obedience. That's the realm of where you obey. That's outer court. Hope. Holy of Holies. That's when He starts to teach you in nature. But He knows that you know, in human nature, it's us. We're not getting it. We want to give up. Hope cements that. I believe that I see what I see, and I know what I know, and I don't care if I don't see it manifesting. I don't care if I see that city. I don't care if I see or that promise. I'm going to continue going after it. And during that time, He starts to teach you. He's letting patience have its perfect work. He's letting perseverance have its perfect work. He's letting, you're in the holy place, being yoked, being tutored under the seven spirits of God, the menorah, which are your teachers. You know, it says after, until faith comes, you're under what? Tutors and government. And that's part of that in the natural realm. That's the apostolic. That's what the apostolic prophet, teacher, preacher, and evangelist, those were earthly tutors. Never meant to be a ministry that lasts forever, right? It says until we come. Until we all die and go to heaven and Jesus comes back. That's not what it says. Until we all come into the revelation of who God is. Because the level of a son is higher than that of an apostle. Then you start getting into priest, king, and we're not going to go into that. But the order of Melchizedek, but we're not going to go in. Priest, king, four faces. But we'll stay that for another time. But hope keeps you cemented in that revelation. Nothing, it doesn't let you be swayed. Then love, relational, amplifies everything. It's when your faith becomes His faith. Oh yeah, Galatians, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, now I die, but Christ lives in me. The life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of, not on. It says on, that's bad translation. It's of the Son of God. It's His faith. Love is when your faith becomes His faith. Everything gets multiplied. That's multiplication. Your joy becomes His joy. The joy of the... Your peace becomes His peace. Now you've entered into the revelation. You've entered into intimacy with light. Come on, this is good. Stewarding. That's the holy of holies, is love. That's when you start to see in the mirror. You've seen in the mirror darkly, but now you're known even as He is known. That aspect of Him is known. Which means you're in a new level of maturity. Is this good? Is this okay? So we steward revelation in the realms of faith, hope, love. See, I look at everything as function. That's what Hebrews do. We function. How do I function in faith, hope, and love? This is part. You can do that in anything. I'm just teaching you how to do this in revelation that the Lord gives you. Fellowshipping with light. New realms of Yeshua. With the eyes of fire. You want to know what you look like? Read in the spirit to Satan. Read Revelation 1. You got the tongue of the sword. Because you're conformed to His image. So if you want to know what you look like, there you go. Revelation 1. Are you not made and conformed to the image of Yeshua? So when He sees you, He sees eyes of fire. When He sees you, He sees the tongue of a sword. Come on, are you conformed to His image or not? Is that how John described Him? You're called to look like Him. You're called to be like Him. He's many. He's the firstborn among many twins, brethren. Got a bunch of twins running around. God's got a bunch of twins running around. Triplets, quadruplets. Sorry, just being. You're a weaponized light. A light that's a weapon to the enemy and to the infrastructures of darkness. Called to pull down Jezebelic strongholds. Called to pull down Leviathan and any thought distortion and mind manipulation. And then that's when you know that you're walking in the light, is when the enemy, when he tries to manipulate you with a thought, because he does thought implantation. The enemy will try to get you to take possession of a thought that's not even yours. But when he does that in accusation, he always gives himself away. That's when Graham Cook talked about a pastor that was falsely accused of pedophilia. And his church believed it and was about to kick him out. And he called Graham. He said, "Graham, I didn't do this. This isn't me. I'm probably," you know, he was attacked by the vault. So Graham went there and prayed, and what turned out happened, he was found innocent, and a pedophilia ring was exposed. Satan gave himself away. So when the enemy accuses you, he always gives something away. Accusation. But the problem is, because it may have something familiar in us, we can't discern if that's thought or ours. But when we start fellowshipping with the light, when the enemy tries to implant a thought like that, that's foreign to us. I have no place in that. That's not God. And sometimes the enemy can even place good thoughts that seem good. Things that are always good aren't always God. But again, that's a surface light. That's not God, because I'm fellowshipping with the light. I have a relationship with light, and that's foreign to me. It's your protection. Is this good? Is this okay? This is what God told me to talk about, was fellowshipping with light. I'm going to pray, and then Aria is going to declare something over you. She said she had a declaration of the Lord that she wanted to declare over you. So I'm going to pray. Father, right now, we take the sword of the Spirit. We cleave, Father, the soul and the spirit. And Father, we ask to fellowship with the light, that you are truth and you are light, Lord. And Father, we ask that you would shine your light into every area of our subconscious, unconscious, and conscious mindsets, and purge our memories. Purge us, Father. Show us where we've yoked ourselves other to you. We repent for yoking ourselves to reject. We repent for yoking ourselves to fear. We repent for yoking ourselves to lies. We repent for yoking ourselves to shame. We repent for yoking ourselves to confusion. We repent for yoking ourselves to anything but your voice, Yeshua, for you are truth. You desire truth in the inward parts. So shine your light in us and remove all darkness from us, and let us and teach us how to walk in the light and fellowship with you, who is light. And we honor you. This is your temple. Let your light expand. Whoa. Emanate. Vibrate. Let our bones, our cellular structure be transformed by your light. Let every system, cell, molecule, atom vibrate with your light. Emanate your light. Flow with your light. Conform to your light. Let everything, what the kingdom of God, expand within us. And we honor you. You are Lord in this temple. This is yours. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. I'm not my, I'm yours. This is your temple. This is your domain. Expand and take ground within us. Jesus' name. I'm going to let Aria declare over you. Mike, is it okay if I prophesy over a few people?
I hope that was okay.
I think I'm just going to... Chris wanted me to read a little bit of 1 Thessalonians 5 to you. And then I wanted to lead you guys in a prayer. And so at that time, I'll just have you repeat after me, and we'll go through. kind of a short prayer. Let's see here, starting in verse 4, and I'm reading the Passion Translation. It's one of my favorites. But you, beloved brothers and sisters, are not living in the dark, allowing that day to creep up on you like a thief coming to steal. For you are all children of the light and children of the day. We don't belong to the night nor to darkness. This is why we must not fall asleep as the rest do, but keep wide awake and clear-headed. For those who are asleep sleep the night away, and drunkards get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, we must stay alert and clear-headed by placing the breastplate of faith and love over our hearts and a helmet of the hope of salvation over our thoughts. For God has not destined us to experience wrath, but to possess salvation through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. He gave his life for us so that we may share in resurrection life in union with him, whether we're awake or asleep. Because of this, encourage the hearts of your fellow believers and support one another just as you have already been doing. Okay. I'm just going to ask you to repeat after me. Father, we receive your spirit of repentance and spirit of fire to baptize and consume us. Consume our minds with your fire, that every thought would be infused with your holy light. Let your light in us unveil before every throne and rank of angelic orders in the heavenly realm, God's multifaceted wisdom. Jesus. Destroy over this mountain the face of the covering, cast over all the people, the veil that is spread over all nations through us. As the dark gets darker, strengthen us to steward your all-consuming fire, that others would be transformed by the shadow of your burning in us. Thank you, Lord. God, we do just bless this body, Lord God, to shine brighter, Lord. We invite your freedom, God, to let go of everything, Lord, that would hinder your light from shining as the pure white light, Lord, through us, God, that we wouldn't be any tainting, Lord, any conflict with your light, Lord God, but that we would only choose what brings us into greater communion and union with your glory and with your light and your truth, Lord. God, we want to manifest your light just like Jesus. Lord, we want to be the house of your light, the dwelling place of God. We honor you, Lord, and we choose to delight ourselves in your light. We choose to feed on your light, Lord, to drink in your light, to love and honor your light, Lord. We want to love all of the parts of you, God, and we want to look like all of the parts of you. We love you, Lord. We love you in all who you are, and we yield ourselves to you. We choose to posture ourselves as hungry. We choose to posture ourselves as pursuing you always, Lord. With every atom of our being, we choose to pursue union with you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
What if you do? We pass the mic. Stay up here. Charlotte, I want to start with you. I really saw the Lord just highlight you. This is the year where wisdom is going to increase in you and revelation is going to increase. There are hidden things. There are secret gems the Lord is going to start to bring out of you. And the Lord says that your voice is valuable. The Lord says that your input is valuable. The Lord says that you know, the things that you have are valuable and there's going to be an increase of your voice. I see the Lord placing an amplifier to your voice and you're going to speak. And there are books in you. There are things that are going to be written in you. The Lord says start to write it down and start to organize it into chapters and to pages and to verses, because the wisdom that's going to flow from you on the page is going to be exponential and is going to transform many. The Lord said also what you've done in secret, the mercy that you've shown in secret, the love that you've shown in secret, I'm going to start to reward you openly. Where you took accusation and you in secret, that I just said you didn't react. You could have reacted. You could have went to another place, but the Lord said you chose to love, and because you did that in secret and you didn't even make a big deal about it, the Lord honors you. And the Lord's going to start to reward you openly. I see engagements where not only Mike's going to be invited to speak, but you're going to be invited to speak. And I see more tag teaming coming in the future that is going to be awesome as the Lord unites you together in even deeper ways to flow as one. Mike, I saw when I looked at you, the Lord showed me. Do you have something for Charlotte, babe? I'm sorry. I get a little ahead of myself. I see, Mike, I saw hidden manna, and I saw manna popping and bread popping out of your Bible and of your Word. And the Lord said, this is a season where you're going to start to enter into new realms of revelation. And with the attack that's been on your study time, the Lord's going to start to deal with that tried to confine you and try to block your mind and try to keep you stuck in a cycle. The Lord's breaking that off, and you're going to start to go into the heavenlies and you receive new revelation that's going to be transformational and start to transform this region, and not only this region, but Alabama. The Lord said it's like a wall of fire that I've surrounded you with, and this wall of fire is going to expand, is going to increase, and even not even going to Summerton, but also go out of state and into the nations as well. The Lord says, I'm going to multiply what looked like a little, I'm going to start to multiply, and I'm opening up as this veil's being removed, it's going to open it up from the north, the south, the east, and the west, as I see a spotlight of the Lord on healing the nations, and many of the kind of, it says kings are going to come to the right light of your rising. It says many are going to come to the light of your rising. Many are going to start to come to this place, and I just see a spirit of slumber that's been where people have been in here and they just don't get it. It's like a stupor or a slumber being broken off this place, and that's why it's been frustrating, because it's like preaching to a wall sometimes. It's like they don't get it, but the Lord says, I'm breaking.